We all know Alexander Graham Bell, right? The telephone guy. But honestly, how much do we really know about him?
Yeah, most people probably just think, dial tone, thanks, Bell, and that's it.
Exactly. So in this deep dive, we're going to uncover the real Alexander Graham Bell, beyond the Mr. Watson moment and all that.
There's so much more to him than just the telephone. Trust me.
We're working with excerpts from a biography. Alexander Graham Bell, the man who gave the world a voice.
And it's fascinating how much his personal life played into his work. Like, his family wasn't just there. They were a huge influence.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. Bell's early years, family life, what was it like?
Well, picture 19th century Edinburgh.
Okay.
And Bell's right in the middle of it, growing up surrounded by this world of sound, but also the limitations of it.
Limitations?
Yeah, because his father, Alexander Melville Bell, was a speech therapist, a prominent one, actually.
Interesting. So communication was already a big part of his life.
Oh, absolutely. His father even developed visible speech, a whole system of symbols to represent sounds, to help deaf people learn to speak.
Wow, that's incredible. So communication was like the family business.
Exactly. And it goes even deeper. Bell's mother, Eliza, was deaf.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
But she was a talented pianist. Imagine the impact that had on young Alexander. Seeing his mother navigate a world without sound, experiencing the challenges firsthand.
Yeah, that must have had a profound effect on him.
It's no wonder he dedicated himself to, you know, bridging those gaps.
Like, his childhood planted the seeds for all his future work.
Right.
I mean, the biography even mentions he was a bit of a tinkerer as a kid, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's this great story about him building a talking doll.
A talking doll?
Yeah, just as a boy, he cobbled it together from, you know, whatever he could find. A simple wind-up mechanism, bits and pieces. And suddenly, his creation had a voice.
That's amazing. I love those little details. It makes him seem so much more real.
It shows that early fascination he had with sound, with pushing the limits of what was possible.
But the family story doesn't stay in Scotland, right? They end up moving.
Yeah, tragedy struck in the 1860s. Two of Alexander's brothers died, tuberculosis.
Oh, that's awful.
So they decided they needed a change, a healthier climate. They emigrated to Canada, settled in Brantford, Ontario.
A fresh start.
Exactly. A whole new world of possibilities. And, you know, this move to Canada seems really key. It's where his work with the deaf community really starts to take off.
Yeah, how does that happen?
Well, in 1871, Bell moves to Boston, starts teaching at the Boston School for the Deaf.
Okay.
And it's there that he really hones his teaching skills, develops new methods to help deaf people communicate. And he meets two women who would have a huge impact on his life.
Ooh, this is getting interesting.
One was Helen Keller. Their relationship shaped both their lives, really. Mm-hmm. And then there was Mabel Hubbard.
Mabel Hubbard.
She became his wife. She'd lost her hearing as a child. Scarlet fever.
So Bell's mother was deaf. His wife was deaf. And his life's work becomes helping the deaf communicate.
Right. It wasn't just some abstract scientific pursuit for Bell. This was personal.
Absolutely. Which makes the whole telephone thing even more fascinating. But here's what I don't get. Bell refused to have a phone in his own home. Why?
It does seem a bit ironic, right?
It's like the man who connected the world wanted his own space to be phone-free.
Well, Bell considered the phone intrusive. He much preferred face-to-face interaction.
That's such a fascinating contradiction. Okay, but let's rewind a bit. How did the telephone even come about? I mean, he wasn't even trying to invent it at first, was he?
Nope. He was working on something called the harmonic telegraph.
The what?
The harmonic telegraph. The idea was to send multiple messages over a single wire at the same time.
Whoa. Ambitious.
Right. And during this work, he teams up with Thomas Watson, a really skilled mechanic. They became quite the duo.
So paint me a picture. What was it like in that Boston workshop?
Okay, picture this. A cramped space, wires everywhere, tools, half-built invention.
Sounds chaotic.
Bell and Watson are there, working late nights, barely stopping to eat, completely obsessed with transmitting the human voice over wires.
Driven. So when was the big breakthrough, the aha moment?
It all came together on March 10th, 1876. After tons of trial and error, Bell finally transmits the first intelligible words over a wire. To Watson, in another room.
Mr. Watson, come here.
I want to see you. A phrase that went down in history.
Iconic. But wait, there's more to the story, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Those first words weren't actually planned.
They weren't? What happened?
Bell had spilled acid on himself.
Ouch.
Yeah. And in a moment of panic, he just blurted out to Watson for help.
No way. So a total accident led to one of the most important moments in history.
Pretty much. But getting the telephone out into the world, that wasn't a walk in the park. There was a lot of competition.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Bell files his patent on February 14th, 1876. And just hours later, another inventor, Elisha Gray, files a nearly identical claim.
No way. Talk about a close call.
It was down to the wire. And, to this day, the exact timing of Bell's filing is still debated.
Adds to the intrigue, right?
Totally. But in the end, Bell gets the patent, and that paved the way for the telephone's incredible journey. But it wasn't all smooth sailing,
I bet. It's not like people just instantly understood how life-changing the telephone would be.
Right. It took some serious work to get people on board with this newfangled device.
So how did the telephone go from like a novelty to something everyone had to have?
Yeah. The Bell Telephone Company, founded in 1877, played a huge role. But their challenge was, while people were so used to letters, telegrams, talking face to face.
It's hard to even imagine. Try explaining to someone back then that you could speak to someone miles away in real time.
Exactly. It was a totally foreign concept. So the company got smart. They focused on showing people how the telephone was actually useful.
Practical applications.
Yeah. Businesses could close deals faster. Families could stay connected more easily. Doctors could be reached in emergencies.
It makes sense. As those telephone lines started going up, connecting homes and businesses,
People started to see the value. It wasn't just a cool gadget
it
anymore.
was improving their lives. So by the 1880s,
Things were taking off. The telephone was everywhere. Cities were becoming these interconnected webs of communication.
the world was getting smaller.
Exactly. It's amazing how fast that transformation happened. But here's the thing about Bell. All that fame that came with the telephone, he wasn't too comfortable with it.
Yeah, it was a pretty private guy, right?
He was a scientist and inventor at heart. He didn't crave the spotlight. In fact, he often tried to avoid it.
There's that famous story about him escaping out of a hotel window to dodge a banquet in his honor.
Exactly. He wanted to be in his lab working on his inventions. And, that whole thing about him refusing a telephone in his own home, I think it shows he had some mixed feelings about his creation.
Interesting. Like, he understood that constant connection could have downsides, too.
Definitely. But let's not forget, Bell was so much more than just the telephone guy. He was a real polymath, always exploring new ideas.
Okay, lay it on me. What else did he invent?
Well, remember how his mother's deafness and his work with the deaf community was such a big part of his life?
Yeah, absolutely.
That passion led him to invent the audiometer.
The what now?
It's a device to measure hearing. He also experimented with early hearing aids, always trying to use his knowledge to help people.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Blending scientific curiosity with a real desire to make a difference.
But the invention that Bell himself considered his most important, his greatest achievement, that was the photophone.
The photo what?
The photophone. Imagine transmitting sound using beams of light.
Using light.
Yeah, back in the 1880s, it was totally revolutionary, decades ahead of its time.
Beams of light carrying sound. It sounds like
Cool.
science fiction. How did it even work?
Okay, so Bell used a mirror to capture sunlight, and he made it vibrate in response to sound waves. Then, this modulated light beam could be received at a distance and converted back into sound.
Wow. He basically invented a precursor to fiber optics.
Exactly. The stuff we rely on today for high-speed internet. But Bell's thirst for pushing boundaries didn't end there. He was also fascinated by flight.
Flight, like airplanes.
Yep. In 1907, he co-founded the Aerial Experiment Association. This group of brilliant minds was determined to conquer heavier-than-air flight.
And they succeeded.
Their most famous achievement was the Silver Dart. In 1909, it made history as the first powered aircraft to successfully fly in Canada.
Can you picture Bell standing there watching this flying machine take off?
Must have been an incredible sight. But his interest in aviation wasn't limited to airplanes. Bell was also a big fan of kites.
Kikes, really?
Oh, yeah, he was obsessed with them, conducted tons of experiments with tetrahedral kite designs, trying to understand lift, stability, all that.
It's amazing. He was curious about everything.
Exactly. Sound, light, flight. His mind was always working. But amidst all these groundbreaking achievements, Bell also had a personal life, a life full of love, loss, and family.
Let's talk about that. What was Bill like outside of the lab?
Well, his marriage to Mabel Hubbard was a true partnership.
Huh.
They shared a love of knowledge, a passion for making the world better. They had two daughters, Elsie and Marion.
Family man.
They did tragically lose two sons in infancy, though.
It's a reminder that even brilliant minds experience those kinds of heartbreaks.
Absolutely. But through it all, Bell found peace and quiet at his estate in Nova Scotia. Bayenbry. It was a beautiful place surrounded by nature.
A sanctuary.
Yeah. And he continued to work, to experiment, to live a life full of purpose right up until the end.
Sadly, that end did come.
Alexander Graham Bell passed away on August 2, 1922. He was 75.
And when he died, there was a pretty incredible tribute, right?
They're talking about when every telephone in North America went silent for a minute in his honor.
It's such a powerful image. The whole network he helped create, standing still.
A testament to how profoundly he changed the way we communicate.
It gives me chills just thinking about it.
Yeah.
We've been exploring the life and work of Alexander Graham Bell, a man who truly changed how we hear the world.
It's been quite a journey, hasn't it? From that little boy with his talking doll to the inventor who saw the future of sound in light.
It makes you think, right? About the power of curiosity and how one person can have such an impact. But as we wrap up, I keep coming back to that question. What would Bell think of our world? This world shaped by the very things he invented.
It's the question that lingers, yeah. What if Bell stepped out of a time machine and into the 21st century?
Right.
Would he be excited to see how far we've come with communication? Would he be on social media, video chatting across the world, just blown away by how easy it all is?
Or would he be overwhelmed by all the information, the way work and life are blurred together now?
It's a fascinating thought experiment. You know, Bell himself didn't even want a telephone in his own home.
Right. He valued real conversations, peace and quiet.
Exactly. So maybe he'd be advocating for digital detox retreats now, telling us to find some balance in all this connectivity.
It's like the very technology he unleashed has created problems he couldn't have imagined. But even with those concerns, you can't deny the positive impact Bell's work has had.
Oh, absolutely. Think about it. Information is everywhere now. Industries have been revolutionized. Social movements empowered. The telephone led to radio, TV, the internet, smartphones.
It's mind-boggling. But as we finish up our deep dive, I want to touch on something you mentioned earlier, the ethical side of things. Bell grappled with those questions, and they feel even more relevant today, with technology changing so fast.
You're right, it's more important than ever. Bell's life shows us that every step forward in technology comes with opportunities, but also responsibilities. We have to make sure these tools benefit humanity, not harm it.
We're not just along for the ride, right? Mm-hmm. We're shaping how this technology evolves.
Exactly. We have to be thoughtful about it. As we navigate all these advances, we can learn from Bell. Have that boundless curiosity, but also some caution. See the potential, but be aware of the pitfalls.
So what's the big takeaway for our listeners today?
I'd say the most important thing is to have real conversations about technology's place in our lives. Don't just accept things as they are. Question them. Challenge them.
And work together. Right. To make sure technology is a force for good in the world.
Exactly.
This deep dive into Alexander Graham Bell's life has been amazing, full of discovery, inspiration, and a lot to think about. We've seen that even the most famous figures in history are complex. They have their own struggles, their own contradictions.
And it reminds us that innovation isn't just about the inventions themselves. It's about the human values driving them and the choices we make about how to use them.
So as you go about your day, think about how you use technology. What role does it play in your life? Are you using it in a way that feels right to you? It's something worth considering.
Keep exploring Bell's story and keep that conversation going, because the impact of the man who gave the world a voice is still being felt today in ways he could never have dreamed of.